The meeting started off with an hour-long discussion about Ruth Lake. Both communities, along with Angoon, are in the running for a permit from the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Wrangell and Petersburg took different routes in filing for the permit. Petersburg spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on their filing, while Wrangell partnered with private utility Cascade Creek LLC on their filing. Petersburg Mayor Al Dwyer used his time to express his displeasure over comments about the Wrangell-Petersburg relationship.
We've always got along. Until recently, and it's disheartening for me and for others in Petersburg, and probably Wrangell too, that we appear not to be cooperating and getting along.
Dwyer also stood by his thoughts on Ruth Lake being ran by public funds rather than private money. Some Wrangell officials still felt that private money is needed for Ruth Lake because public funds might not be available for the project. Petersburg City Councilman Lee Correo agreed with Dwyer's comments on the communities working together. He says some people need to put aside their personal visions to ultimately work together.
I think we all agree that cooperation among the communities of the region is crucial. It is essential to the development of a long-term solution for the power needs of Southeast Alaska. And the thing is that at this early stage of the process, our positioning of ourselves would seem to undermine that. And that's why I urge you to understand it is early in the process. And we need to maintain that mutual respect that is crucial to being able to join together when we do hit that crossroad.
Next on the agenda was the AKBC Intertie. Wrangell is looking to complete the Intertie to develop hydropower for Southeast Alaska. Going into the meetings, there were wide misconceptions that Petersburg did not support the project. Wrangell Assemblymember Jeremy Maxson was able to explain the benefits of the Intertie. He says meeting the needs of Alaska communities has to come first.
So now with the AKBC Intertie, what that means for every single project, hydro, wind, whatever, that comes online that's connected to the grid as it is today, what that means is we can use that new hydro project to meet the needs of local people first. I think everybody agrees with this. We can meet the needs for those 2 megawatts, but we can tell the bank that we can sell the rest of that power. We know we can sell it somewhere else. The rate might be this or that, but we know we can sell 20 megs, not just 2 megs.
Maxson says once the grid is turned on, Wrangell will be able to sell and get 100% of the revenue out of the project. He says that Southeast Alaska needs the AKBC Intertie for other projects like Ruth Lake to work. Assemblymember Warren Edgley agreed. He says the power must be sold in order to set up a rational economic recovery system.
We could build the AKBC Intertie and in 5 years be connected into the Canadian system. And power can flow from Canada to this side of the border, and we would have no problems then in running out of power in 5 years. We'd have power from Canada available.
Assemblymember Ernie Christian elaborated on Edgley's statements after the meeting. He says the Intertie would be a backup plan for future outages in Wrangell and Petersburg.
Both Wrangell and Petersburg are out of power, and if we have the AKBC Intertie, we could actually potentially buy power out of British Columbia or off the North American grid, you know, if they have extra power, and we could supplement that, our regular power, until we get new hydro online.
Correo says after the meeting, previous misunderstandings about where Petersburg stood on the AKBC Intertie were cleared up.
I learned some things here tonight about the importance that it may have for our whole region, but I also feel that it is appropriate that Wrangell really be driving that issue, and that with it being so close to home, as it were, for them, that it's going to be important for them to push that issue forward with our support and encouragement.
The Thomas Bay Authority's low growth was up for discussion. Christian put the item on the agenda to get a better idea of where the energy was going. He says energy consumption has increased between 2000 and 2009 to where there will be little power coming out of Lake Tyee.
You know, we're going to be using 9 megs, and maybe Petersburg is going to be using 13 megs, and then we're going to be asking for 9.5, and so what's going to happen then? It's just something to consider. Another issue I see with this is that when the turbine goes to rewound at Tyee, potentially in 2010, we'll be down to 1 turbine, and we have to consider that, who's going to be running diesels, and so on and so forth, because one turbine generates a little over 11 megs, definitely not enough to support both communities.
Both sides had a chance to weigh in on the Southeast Alaska Power Agency. SEPA was formed following the Four Dam Pool divestiture last December. Most officials, like Correo, expressed confidence in the newly formed board.
I kind of look at SEPA much as I did the Four Dam Pool. SEPA is the old Four Dam Pool. It's now just a Two Dam Pool. And so much of that is just negotiating the nuances of change that have occurred. And there's changing leadership that's going on. And I think it's going to work itself out. I really do.
Christian pushed for SEPA to do a bathymetric study on Lake Tai'i. He says he wants the study to get a better understanding about the rule curve on Tai'i.
We need to find out exactly how much energy we have in our Tai'i Lake for a water supply. And then you can calculate out exactly that rule curve even closer. Because I'd rather err on the conservative side than run out of water and have to run diesels.
Christian says Lake Tai'i has always been 20% above its rule curve, as opposed to other projects like Swan Lake, where it has been below its rule curve because it's always running out of water. Energy issues wasn't the only items on the agenda. Emergency transportation was discussed towards the end of the meeting. With the Petersburg airport closed for repairs, it has been difficult for medevac helicopters to transport emergency victims from Petersburg. Maxan cited a recent incident where a Petersburg man was injured during a snowmobile accident. He says there was no concrete plan intact.
You know, when the rubber meets the road and you know, people are waiting to be evacuated in a crisis, that's not the time when you want to shore up your plan. That's the time when you want to rely on your plan. And that plan needs to be in place before you need it.
Maxen says Wrangell and Petersburg need to manage risk. He says not having an immediate medevac access increases risk for Petersburg residents. The airport is scheduled to reopen on April 21st. Towards the end, everybody felt that they got their points across despite not coming to a consensus on most of the issues. Dwyer says he thought the meeting was a step in the right direction.
We discussed a whole bunch of controversial items, and if we didn't come to a consensus, we did get an understanding of each other's positions, and I think that's important, you know, because we're polarized, you know, not sitting together face to face, and coming together like this, I think, resolved some of my concerns, not all of them, but some of them.
Christian says the meeting was very positive. He says the two sides agreed on two main concerns.
I think out of this meeting, the two main things I seen was energy security and actually energy conservation in the near future. And I think both Wrangell and Petersburg is looking at that.
Both sides are looking to hold another joint meeting in Petersburg in the near future. They hope representatives from other Southeast communities like Angoon, Hoonah, and Cake will attend. Reporting in Wrangell, I'm Tony Gorman.